Good evening, everyone. This is Chuck, Kizero Jorge, and welcome to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. The net operates on and through the Minnesota-Wisconsin room, number 21493. This is an open technical net, but please check in through net control. Tonight's net control stations are K0 Jorge Chuck, 80MIP to K90 Cupis, N0YQ Steve, and N0JOL Joe. Bakken Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Bakken, founder of Medtronic. Earl was always interested in radio and is a founding sponsor of the Pavic Museum of Podcasting. Earl allowed us to use his name because he is a strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. You can learn more about Bars and Earl at www.w0mdt.com. The 444.075 and the 444.525 operate from the Tronic facility near Highway 10 and I-35W in Moundsview, Minnesota. Net control will only take check-ins from stations with traffic. Stations with traffic for the net. When we ask for it, please reply with your call, city, state, and we'll get you on the list and take you in the order received. Now, I will start with announcements. Does anyone have an announcement for the net this evening? All right, well, it's that time of the year again. April 13th, a couple Saturdays from now, we'll be having the first hams in the park, if you guys haven't heard of that. The local hams in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area take over a park. Long Lake Regional Park, and set up radios and talk ham. Anything goes, HF, VHF, satellite, building stuff, just come on out and meet your friends and have some fun. Other groups have joined us in the past, so it's been a fun time, hoping to get more. And we coordinate through the MinWiz group, so try to do some HF stuff and coordinate back and forth. It's been fun to bring new hams in and be able to get them some time on the air. With that, I will move to the check-in body of the net. So let's see if anybody has any traffic for the net. If you have traffic, give us your name, city, state, and we'll get you on the list. All right, maybe I'm missing something. There was no traffic. I don't know if that's ever happened before. Looking for traffic for the net. Anybody with traffic on the net, please check in now. Name, city, state, and we'll get you on the list.
This is WA9E, Roberto, with traffic. I should try it again, Chuck. I think we probably doubled up. This is Bill, KCHYQL, with a net announcement.
N9WGV, Bill, in Elmwood Park, Illinois, with traffic.
N9UDN, Larry, in Zanesville, Wisconsin, with traffic.
All right, I know we missed a couple at least. I've got Whiskey Alpha 9 Echo Roberto, QC8YQL, and November 9 Union Delta November Larry. I also have November 9 Whiskey Golf Victor. So we'll start up there with Roberto, Whiskey Alpha 9 Echo. Go ahead.
Hello, Chuck. I just wanted to wish you a belated happy birthday. I understand we missed you last week for your birthday. That was my traffic, WA9E.
Why, thank you, Roberto. It's not every day your wife says, hey, I'm going to take you out to dinner. Make sure that radio is turned off. So, you know, when that happens, you got to listen to the person that helps me afford the radios. Thank you very much for those wishes. I'm older. I'm definitely older. Kilo Charlie 8, Yankee, Quebec, Lima. Bill, go ahead with your traffic.
Good evening, all. Well, I wanted to wish you the same thing there, Chuck. Very happy 39th and a half birthday, and many more to come. I wonder if I got that close. Anyway, no, I'm not advertising for Ham Radio Outlet. I'm not making any money off of this. This is just to let you guys know I got the Zum. Well, I call it a Zum stick. And it seems to be working flawless, Chuck, on Fusion, but it's a little challenging on DMR and D-Star. But on Fusion here, it seems to work quite well. So if you want to go to Ham Radio Outlet, HRO.com's website, type in your little search criteria box, ZUM, that's Zulu United Mary, skip a space radio. You can see KI6ZUM's latest and greatest. Yep, another hotspot. How many more do we need, right? I guess as long as we keep buying them, they're going to keep making them. Back to net control. And by the way, I almost forgot, they're going to have a topic of discussion on that product tonight on the Raspberry Pi Net that comes on at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time Zone. That will be on D-Star REF Reflector 38 Charlie, home of the Dayton Hamvention. I'll be discussing, I guess, a little more about this Zum stick. Back to you, Chuck. Thanks for letting me chime in here, and many more birthdays to come. KC8YQL, back to you, sir.
All right, Bill. You know, without you, you know, they would have not sold how many of those things? I think you've got one of every one of them. Next up, November 9, Union Delta Norber. Larry, go ahead.
Thank you, Net Control. Good evening, everybody on the net. Excuse my voice. I got a stuffed up nose. I got no crazy nasal pops up in there. I cleaned them up. Anyway, I got a brand new FTM 400. And they did a kind of crazy thing on crossband repeat, and I don't know if you can tell me much about that. It's not in the manual, of course, and I figured out how to bring it up. I had an interesting problem where I accidentally transmitted through the radio when it had two UHF frequencies on it instead of a UHF and a VHF. And the radio started alternating back and forth between receive on the receive side and transmit on the transmit side. So I immediately stopped transmitting with my HT, and it wouldn't quit, so I grabbed a hold of the VFOs and gave them a twist and got it to quit doing that. And after a little bit, the transmit side went out. It was no longer transmitting on crossband. So I went and did a extensive, meticulous battle with the radio, you might say, to get it back working again. And my question is, During that whole mess, some of the tone that it sings that musical tone when it powers up, that tone would not play until I got everything just right and back in order. Of course, I backed up. I did multiple resets on the radio and backed up different memory preset that I had in there before the problem started, and that would fix it, and it did not fix it, and just did a whole bunch of other things that anybody would think of. This morning, I finally got it rectified, and it is transmitting again. But it wasn't until I decided that I'm going to just not go reverse. I'm going to put the UHF on radio B and the VHF on receive or transmit on radio A. The radio likes it anyway. And as soon as I did that and powered it up for crossband again, it sang its little magical tune that it's supposed to do. What I'm wondering is, are these beep tones the result of a past test that the radio does, a diagnostic test, some kind of internal diagnostic stuff, and that's why it would not give me the tones when the radio wasn't quite working right or whatever. What do you know about crossband repeat or anything? And then you get back to that.
Well, I remember when they first brought out the FTM 400 and it didn't crossband repeat and people whined and whined and whined. And then all of a sudden, they said, well, here's kind of the secret handshake dealy that is not published anywhere, but this is how you do it. So the radio will do crossband. It is not made to do crossband at over 5 watts. It's not really made for it at all, but it will do it. If you need to look at hamoperator.com, there is a little bit of a document on there that tells you how to do it. So that's one way. And those that tone that comes up, I'm sure that's just the, hey there, I did my check when you turned me on, and that's the noise I make. So I think you got the answer correct. Back to you, Larry.
Okay, I think that's what I figured, that it probably was, that it will give you the tones when it boots up as a result of a past self-diagnostic, because when the radio was faltering, it would not give me that musical tone anymore when I started it up in crossband. It would always do it when I went back to regular mode, but as soon as I went to crossband, it would sing me that song. I was like, oh, I think I probably cooked something in there. But in the process of all the resetting and going back to previous memory configurations with the data and the channels configuration. And also I tried to set up crossband on a higher set of frequencies than what I started out on, what I really wanted it to work on. I went higher in the band. I was told to try that by one of my ham friends, and I don't know if that's fixed it or whatever, but it just... I use it when I go different parts of the building. I live in an apartment building, and it's kind of nice to be able to use that tool so that I can go up with my HT and still operate my base station. I enjoy that function quite a bit. I knew it wasn't in the book, but I didn't know that the radio did it because one of my ham friends is very knowledgeable about radios and what they do and everything. He does a lot of testing on various radios and all that, and he told me that it does do that, but he didn't tell me how, and I was determined one night I was going to figure it out, so I did. That was kind of funny. So it's a nice tool. I don't use it very much, but it's a nice tool for when I can't be by the radio, and yet I do want to talk to some of my friends on Simplex, so about those tones, and it's singing. Thank you very much for your comment. This is Unmanned UDN. Back to that. I could ask more questions, but I don't want to tie it up too long.
All right, Larry, thank you very much. And next up would be William, November 9, Whiskey Golf Victor. Go ahead.
Good evening, Air Control. I just want to get on bandwagon and also wish you a happy birthday. And I just wanted to also let you guys know out there that I've been on Fusion probably for a little over a year, maybe two, and listening on this frequency on Monday evenings has brought a lot of joy to me, and I've got a lot of information off you good gentlemen out there, and ladies, I'm sorry if there's ladies out there, but a lot of good information has been provided, and I really appreciate this channel. Just wanted to keep up the good work, and thank you very much for everybody's involvement. That's all I got. Back to Net Control. Thank you.
That's the end of my list, so we're looking for more people to check in with traffic. If you have traffic, this is your chance. Name, city, state, and we'll get you on the list.
Let's see here, waiting for this thing to make sure. There we go. The name is Jake. City is Napa, Idaho. And I do have traffic. 7 Tango.
And this is Kilo Echo 6, Golf Yankee Delta, Bob in Irvine, California with traffic.
All right, we got two of them there. November Fox 7 Tango, Jake out of Napa, Idaho, and Kilo Echo 6, Golf Yankee Delta, Bob, out of Irvine, California. Jake, November Fox 7 Tango, go ahead with your question.
All right, I'm just waiting for my screen to change so I know that I'm getting through. I still see, there we go. Chuck's call cleared off. Yes, Chuck, and the net, this is kind of a little more expansion on, I think it was N9UDA, I believe, was the guy with the question on the crossbanding. If he will go to my website, which is really simple to remember, because it's my call letters, NovemberFoxtrot7Tango.us. But if he screws up and types in .com or .net, I own all three, and they'll redirect to .us. But go to .us, NF17.us. The second tab that you'll see on the screen where the various options are at, there's one there. The second one says repeaters. If he'll click on that, on the page, you'll see a expanded paragraph that crossband mode and how to use it properly. Because we've had some problems in the past out here in Idaho, and so I dug into that and put all that together. There's a lot of really good information there. But what most people don't understand is as soon as they put their radio in crossband repeat, it's no longer their radio. It's an auxiliary station. And that's all explained in that paragraph at nf17.us, and then click on the repeater tab, and you will see it all there. NF7T, back to you, Chuck. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, Jake, I'm going to ask, since it's a little bit slow tonight, if you could explain what it means as an auxiliary station and what changes you have to make in order to use it. If you could do that, that would be wonderful. Just give us kind of the highlights of what you have written. People can go look at it for more information, but it's probably a good thing to give to everybody out here, if you'd be willing. Back to you, Jake.
Yeah, we're waiting for that. There we go. I want to make sure that little change is on the screen so I know that I'm not interfering with you. Well, I discovered all this a long, long time ago, but you can read about it under Section 97201 of the FCC rules. And an auxiliary station is, well, you have to think of it almost as though it's on top of a mountain somewhere. But you don't have to be on top of a mountain. It can be sitting in your driveway or in your house or whatever. But it definitely has some rules there, and the rules you need to look at is if you go into the rules on the FCC website and look under auxiliary station, you'll find that there is we're all familiar with the band allocations, I guess you would call it, like a 2-meter band, for instance, there and all the bands. They have designated areas, but on the meter, for instance, is there's areas for single sideband, there's areas for CW, there's areas for satellite experimentation. It goes on and on and on. It's broke down. And it's a gentleman's agreement to keep peace so you don't just arbitrarily reach up in the air and pick out a frequency. So I highly suggest that you go and investigate that portion. Because since you're talking about 2 meters and 70 centimeters on these radios, the way they're set up to crossband, under the old rules, you would go in on, you had to be on 222.15 megahertz or above when you entered into your auxiliary station or your crossband unit from your handheld. That immediately eliminated where a lot of guys wanted to go into their radio on 2 meters and out on 70 centimeters. No, 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 no. Listen to the frequency. You have to be on 222.15 megahertz or above when you enter your radio, which means that on these crossbanders, the way they're built now, you will have to go in on 70 centimeters and out on 2 meters. But don't put the 2-meter side on 146.52. Because that's allocated as the national simplex calling frequency. duplex frequencies that are allocated and go in, put in one of those. And then on my chart, I have a crossband frequency section there. You can see it right here when you click on it on my page. And it will bring up a large listing of frequencies that you should use one of to
All right, sounds like Jake timed out, so we'll get back to him. Next up on my list is Kilo Echo 6, Golf Yankee Delta. Bob, from Irving, California. Go ahead, Bob, and thank you for waiting.
Sure, no problem. Good information on the crossband there. Okay, I observed something that happened on setting up a 400 radio today, and I recall it happened previously to me, but I was setting up a friend's 400. He had an SD card in the radio prior to even turning it on. And so we powered on the radio before doing any other things to it, just plugged everything in, powered it on, and it came up to the screen where you have to enter the initial call sign in, go on further, did that, and then it just kind of stayed there on the black Yaesu screen and didn't go any further, didn't go into the display. And I had that happen to me a while back, and what it ended up being, I think, is that if you wait long enough, it seemed like it took a long time for it to recognize that card, the SD card, and then eventually it did. Because we powered the radio off, took the SD card out, and then, of course, the radio booted right up, no problem. Put the card back in, did the same thing. It waited on that black... but then after about a minute, it went on, and everything worked fine. I'm just wondering if others have experienced the same thing with regards to certain brands or certain SD cards, where others would just... the radio would power up with no problem. So I'll take any comments. One regarding that issue that I noticed. This is KE6GYD back to net control.
I guess the first question I have to ask you, Bob, is you said you had the card in on a brand new one. Was so he had not formatted the card for the radio. So it was a blank card?
Well, it's possible that something was on that card before, and no, the card was not formatted for the radio. We couldn't even get into the main screen to get into the menu to format the card. It wouldn't go past that. And, you know, thinking something was wrong, we pulled the plug to power off the radio because the power switch wouldn't even work. Then I recalled what happened to one of my radios a while back, and I said, let's just wait a little bit longer and see what happens. And lo and behold, put the same card in there, radio powered on, held on that black boot-up screen for probably about a minute, and then eventually everything worked fine after that. We were then able to get into the menu and format the card. Actually, I don't even think we formatted the card until after we... booted frequencies on from RTE systems programming. And then we formatted the card after that, and everything worked fine. But I think it was just that initial, maybe the radio had to kind of read what that strange card that might have been in there before it would do anything else. Does that make any sense? This is KE6GYD.
Yes, it does. Without it being formatted, it has to look at the whole card, so depending on how big the card is, it could take a long time. That's one of the things we found out early on. Don't use too large a card. Format it after booting radio, and don't put the card in until after the radio is booted the first time. And it says, I just got a note that it must be a FAT32. Not sure what that means. But I found a whole bunch of 4 gig cards, and they seem to work just fine. I think you got got it right there. It was just that he couldn't read the card right away, so that's what happened. Probably the best way to avoid that is to not insert the card the first time until after the radio is booted, and then format the card right away, and that'll take care of the problem. Anything else, Bob?
No, that's pretty much it. Thanks for the info there and confirming kind of my observation. It's KE6GY.
Thank you very much. And this is Chuck K04K, and I'm going to go back to November Fox 7 Tango. Jake, you were explaining about using the upper frequencies to do your transmit in. If you you just timed out or something, Jake, if you have anything more to add, please come back now.
Let's see here. There we go. Now we're transmitting. Thanks for your patience, Chuck. We appreciate it. Yeah. Anyway, it's all explained on that article on my website at nf70.us under the repeater tab. There's various tabs there, but repeaters will bring up all the local stuff for us out here, and I just built that paragraph in there for people. But yes, and also there's the frequencies are listed right there. And the one point I want to make on the frequencies is you'll notice on the chart that all of them end in four numerals after the decimal point on the 70 centimeter frequencies. The reason for that is they all end in either 2.5 or 7.5, and there's a reason for that. Because if you arbitrarily grab a figure, which somebody did out here one time, and they just used a frequency like 444.900. Well, you'll notice that repeater control frequencies and a lot of repeater frequencies end in 00, and this gentleman accidentally got on a link frequency between two systems and was coming out on four or five repeaters at once, but had no idea he was doing that while he was crossbanding. So use the frequencies on my chart, and those frequencies are in the auxiliary station portion of the FCC suggested band. So you'll win by using those frequencies. Back to you, Chuck. Thank you for your patience and indulgence. NF70.
Well, thank you very much for sharing with us. And that does end my list. Looking for anyone else with traffic willing to share for the MinWiz group. This is K04K. If you've got traffic, give us your name, city, state, and we'll get you on our list.
Whiskey Delta 9, Delta Alpha November, Indiana. I got a simple question, and I'll be standing by.
All right, I got two of them there. I've got November 3, Juliet Alpha X-ray, Fred. Fred, your audio was so highly overdriven that it hurts. You need to come down four or five steps, I would say, before you're normal. I also have Victor Alpha 7, Tango Fox, Tony. Whiskey Delta 9, Delta Alpha November. So, and then I had Chris K90Q. That has some stuff to explain about the crossband. So, Chris, I'm going to give it to you first, and then we'll come back and take Fred, hopefully, after he's got his mic gain turned down a little bit. Go ahead, Chris.
Let's see if this works. Okay. Using a different radio tonight. I see we have a comment. What was the website regarding crossbanding? The website that Jake mentioned was NovemberFoxTrot7Tango.us. So I thought I should explain a couple of things here. What is an auxiliary station? The FCC definition is kind of terse and doesn't really give you a lot of information. ADLRL has more information on it. Basically, an auxiliary station is a It can be a control station. It can be used for doing links, like if you have an RF link between repeaters or something like that, that would be an auxiliary station. You might have heard the term remote base. So a remote base is a remotely controlled base station. It can be on HF, VHF, UHF, whatnot. That would be an auxiliary station versus a repeater. Now, you can connect a repeater to a remote base, and that's kind of a common way of doing it. So the auxiliary station, as Jake mentioned, megahertz or higher. So typically that's on the UHF band for most hams. So, for example, to control a repeater, the station controlling the repeater is technically an auxiliary station. They may use DTMF commands. They must be on 222.15 or higher. So most repeaters, the control channel is on UHF. That means you cannot just have a VHF repeater with a VHF input being used for control. If that's the case, you have to have a UHF receiver, 220, whatever, the control over the landline or the internet or some other means. You cannot do the mandatory ability. You have to be able to shut the repeater off. It's required. You can't do that from a 2-meter frequency. So that's what that is saying. So generally when crossbanding, then the controller is on UHF, and them, the people you're talking to, are on VHF. And your radio, like the Kenwood V71A, can be controlled remotely through touchtones. The FTM400 cannot. So technically, you have to have some means of disabling the FTM400, either by hitting the off switch. So like maybe it's in the basement of the house you're in or something like that. You can't just leave it running and go and drive it off to work. So that's what an auxiliary station is versus a repeater, which is more or less mostly used for just voice traffic, where there's a control aspect or a linking aspect to an auxiliary station. It's not a good idea to put your auxiliary station in the satellite bands. People don't like that. So there are frequencies on UHF that you should not use for an auxiliary station. And generally they're, satellite subbands and things like that. Jake mentioned frequencies ending of zero. What he said is, not true in all of the country. So here in Minnesota, the link and control frequencies are between 445 and 447. In California, most of them are around 434. So you have to be aware of where all these frequencies are, and I would say on your UHF control link, you should always have CTCS or DCS or something like that enabled. Lastly, the FTM400, as Chuck mentioned, is not really designed to do crossbanding. So depending upon your combination of frequencies, the 2-meter and the 440 frequency, it'll either work really well or it'll work really badly. And by badly, I mean that there will be a lot of descents. There are certain frequencies that you just are not going to get good receiver sensitivity because the frequencies being generated in the radio are interfering the transmitters and the receivers, and there's just combinations that just will not work. So with all those caveats, that's the deal with what an auxiliary station is and crossbanding. The instructions on actually how to put the FTM400 in the crossband are on hamoperator.com. You go to the Fusion Help area, and there's a document called Tips and Tricks, and go down to the FTM400 area, and there are the instructions for putting it in the crossband. And I'm thinking right now I will probably add some of these comments there about what to do and what not to do. So I just wanted to clear that up with the auxiliary stations and all that kind of stuff. Back to NetK90Q.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate the clarification there. That's what we work for. We get everybody talking and we get all the information we need. Next up, November 3, Juliet Alpha X-Ray, Fred. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. I have a slide scanner that uses a card to store the material on when you scanned it. And it's currently formatted for SIS-32. Is it a possibility that I could reformat the card for NTFS and have it work equally well in the scanner? Or is the scanner locked into the older format?
Well, knowing how picky my radios are, you need a card for each radio. You will not be able to use your scanner card in your FTM 400, 100, or FT2. In fact, you can't even use the FTM 400 card in the FTM 100 or put it in the FT2. You need a different card for each one because they format differently. No interchange between them. Well, you can interchange between 400s a little bit, but you still run into some issues. So I guess the best answer is no. Back to you, Fred.
I had a suspicion that that was the case, but we were playing with it the other day, and looking at the card and the amount of free space that's on it, and it was not using all the free space. So my son reset the card, and apparently there's a protection device on it that lets you only put so much onto the disk. And I was just wondering whether whether NTFS would override that if it hadn't been set. I just hate you don't want to change the format for anything. It's best to run the one that's set up for that system. Thanks, back to net control.
And I just received a little note here. Says you cannot use NTFS. It must be a FAT32. So I guess that answers that question. Fred, thank you very much. And next up would be Whiskey Alpha 7 Tango Fox Tony out of British Columbia. Go ahead. All right, nothing heard. We'll come back to Tony. Whiskey Delta 9, Delta Alpha November, Dan, out of Carmel, Indiana. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'm very new to Fusion. I've been on DMR for about a year and a half. A little bit confused by a couple things on Fusion. I've got a new FTM 400 here, and I got it partly programmed up. And right now I'm on an open spot, too, and I have all that working, but... I'm a little confused about YSF versus FCS, rooms versus reflectors, or, you know, it says FCS reflectors, and I guess those are two separate networks. I'm a little confused by some of the numbering and how you get where you're going. I know how to press the wires button on my radio and say all and bring up a list to search, but is there a shortcut way to get to a room from a number or a YSF reflector from a number, and what's the difference between those, and how do I punch, if I find a list on the internet, how do I just punch the number in? Is that a DTMF thing? How is that done? So just a general question around that. You don't have to give me nitty-gritty detail, I guess, but point me in the right direction, please. Thank you very much. W8CYT.
If we need more, we'll call Chris in. You can get through, depending on the radio, each one is different. On the Yaesu radio, going into the Yaesu networks with nodes and rooms. And they use different things interchangeably. That's why it's kind of difficult. A room is set up from an HRI 200, and you don't have to have one, but you get one when you buy the HRI 200. And then you can name it whatever you want. Like this is 21493. So that's, then you can connect up using that number. But it's different for each radio, so you're going to have to look it up. The FCS network is a separate network. There is no way to go from Yaesu Fusion to join that network other than through a link, and you cannot control it from your Yaesu radio. The same is with the YSF. Cannot be controlled through the Yaesu radio, has to be controlled outside of it. So, Dan, did that help you out a little bit? If not, I can get Chris to go into further detail.
Well, I kind of understood that that nodes can be, you know, can be also be a room or not. But I guess I'm wondering how I find the popular, even if I'm just sticking with YFS, YSF, I guess it is, from my FDM 400. Like I said, I hit the down arrow when I'm in wireless mode. I can bring up a list of all, and I got to scroll through all these rooms. I know the ones that are have the most people that show up first, but if I'm looking for something specific, I can type in a name and hope I type the first few letters right. Is there any way to enter the number that I find on the internet? Like this is 21493 or whatever it is. Is there any way to directly enter that number on the FDM 400? I guess would be one of my questions.
I know that on the FT2 you can enter with the number, but I don't know about the 400 or the 100. I haven't used that function. So, Dan, maybe we're going to give you some homework, and you can figure it out. I know that using the YSF and the FCS and all the hotspots are just a little bit different. Every one of them uses different programming, so the protocol on how to change and move through the different rooms. Probably a good background resource for you would be hamoperator.com. And if you look on there, you can see the current number, or you can see the current rooms, you can see all of the rooms, and you can see the top listing, or the top 100. So it gives you a way to look at different things on the computer, and then should make it easier on your finding it on your radio. I know there was another station that called in that might have help on this one, but I did not catch the call sign. So I'm going to take a short break for somebody who called in. I think they had information on this and wanted to help. So if you do, please check in now. Give us your name, city, state, and we'll get back to you.
Hopefully I can jump in here first right quick. Let me see if I got this, because I think I can better define my question rather quickly.
Yeah, this is W8CYC. The name is Mike. I am in Harrison Township, Michigan. And actually, the info I had was completely off base. I didn't listen to the whole conversation before I jumped in. So, my apologies with that. I'm just going to listen. W8CYC.
Rooms until I find it. And I'll be glad to let the other gentleman help as well. Thank you. WD9DAN.
Thank you very much for that. Appreciate you trying to help anyway. And I also had Kilo 4 Echo Alpha Echo. Don, did you have something to add specific to this? We're doing with traffic only, so if you have something to add specific to this question.
Well, it sounds like he's trying to control, he's using the PDN mode instead of going to the HRI mode, because he's trying to enter the room by using the radio. Now, if he backs out and goes into HRI mode, he can use the Wireless X software to change rooms or to connect to a room.
All right, Don. Well, that gives him another way to do it. I don't know how he's getting in. I think he's using a YSF with a P-Star, but... Dan, did that help you out at all? Go back to you. That would be Dan. Whiskey Delta 9, Delta Alpha, whatever. Go ahead.
Yes, that helps. I appreciate it, Chuck. I tried to clarify my question a minute ago. Not sure I got in. I'm not sure if you guys heard me. I'm driving. Forget the open spot. I'm driving down the road in my vehicle. I'm connected to a repeater, and I want to find Texas Nexus. I hit the down arrow. I hit search. I don't know where to type. TEX for Texas, US for US Texas, YSF for YSF dash Texas. I'm wondering if there's some way I can find things just using the FTM 400. You know, that's my problem. I'm trying to figure out. Do I use a number? I'm trying to figure out how I find something I want without scrolling through a list of hundreds of...
Well, I know Texas Nexus is pretty easy. It's in the top 10. So you can normally just scroll down, and you don't have to scroll down very far. But we'll see if we can get some more help for you on this. Appreciate it. It's a really good question. Next up on... Well, I think that was it. I'm going to go back to Victor Alpha 7 Tango Fox. Tony, British Columbia, are you there?
Yeah, thanks. Sorry about the last one there. I accidentally tapped the other VFO on the 400 and I was on FM. So never got through, but that's okay. My fault on this end. Thanks for coming back to me. All right, my question really is, and I don't know if it's been asked before, is why does Yaesu not have an echo reflector of some sort? You know, this fusion is taking off exponentially, and continuously hear the complaints that your audio is too hot, your audio is too low, your audio... And, you know, I know I can understand when they migrate through different rooms or different modes through YSF or Bandmaster or whatever, you know, when they link over. But within the Yaesu system itself, you know, yeah, I'm using a 400. I'm using this. Well, turn it down. You're so freaking hot. You know, like, and it's not their fault. They don't know that. And continuously raising and lowering the volume on the radio. And FM doesn't seem to have that much of a problem, but this fusion, holy mackerel, and sometimes it just rips your ears apart. So, I don't know, just kind of a general question, I guess. Maybe there's an answer coming soon or something. Thanks for letting me back in there. Victor Alpha 7, Tango Fox.
And yes, that has been an issue since day one. And I'm not sure that there is a fix for it. At least I don't know one from Yaesu how they would do it. So, Tony, you're not alone. And, you know, I guess it seems more like the DMR guys turn it really high, make it work on DMR, and then when they get to Fusion, they just blow our ears off. Don't know why, but that's what I find going on here. I have Kilo Fox Echo Alpha Echo. Don, Jacksonville, Florida. Go ahead, sir. Well, nothing there, so I'll make another call for anybody with traffic for the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio. Now, this is Chuck K0ORK. Looking for anyone with traffic. Give us your name, city, and state, and we'll get you on the list.
W2CSH, Carl, Mount Laurel, New Jersey, with traffic.
KE6GYD again, with traffic.
All right, got two of them there. Whiskey 2, Charlie Sierra Hotel. And Kilo Echo 6 Golf Yankee Delta, Bob. So, Whiskey 2, Charlie Sierra Hotel, Carl, Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Go ahead with your traffic.
Thanks, Chuck. Good evening to the net. I have an FTM 400 and two FTM 100s, and I was short a micro SD card. And I have two 16 gigabyte cards that I've been using in two of the radios. I bought a 32 gig card, and when I put it in the FTM-100, it basically freezes up the radio, and it does the same thing to the both of the FTM-100s, and I tested it in my PC. It's a good card, perfectly readable. I bought three of them, and I tried all three of them, and they all do the same thing. So my question is there a size limitation to the size or capacity of the SD card you can use in these radios? So back to you, Chuck. Thank you.
Yes, there is a size limit, and I'm going to send it over to Chris, K9EQ. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly what the, limit is, but there is a size limit. The smallest possible SD card you can get your hands on is way bigger than anything you'll ever need in these radios. So 4 gigs is ridiculous overkill. But yes, the cards have to be formatted with a FAT32, and there are limits on FAT32. I'm not even sure if they'll do FATEX, which is kind of the new thing. You know, keep in mind, these are very simple microprocessors, and they do very simple things. And so I personally haven't used more than 4 gigs in any of the radios. So I would guess that 32 is probably too big, based on your experiments that you did. It's probably however big a FAT32 card can be. It's in the specifications, so if you look in the manual, it will tell you how large a card it will handle and how it has to be formatted. And my preference is to format the cards in the radio, because that way you know for sure it's being formatted the way it wants it formatted. Like I say, it's not a huge computer. It's a very simple microprocessor, and it's going to be very intolerant to variations in how particular systems might format a card. The best thing to do is just format the whole dang thing inside the radio and use the smallest card you can get your hands on. And Joel made a comment here, smaller is better. That's correct. And I suspect things will go faster with smaller cards, too. There's just less stuff that the radio has to deal with. Back to that, K92.
Thank you, Chris. And Carl, I think that answers your question completely. Back to you.
Okay. I did a Google search on it. It didn't really come up with a number. I didn't have my manual with me, but I will look it up and probably go back to the, like you said, 4 gig. I guess it doesn't need a lot of capacity, so thank you for the answers. Appreciate the net. And back to you, Chuck, W2CS8.
Thank you. This is Chuck K04K. Next up on my list is Kilo Echo 6, Golf Yankee Delta. Bob, go ahead.
Hello again. This is KU6GYD. Well, this last comment or question was kind of relating to what I was talking about earlier about my SD card. It might be that if he just waits long enough that the freeze-up that occurs, which occurred when I put a card into my friend's radio as we were initially setting it up. The radio came on, but it sure looked like it froze unless you wait long enough. Anyway, but the question I had for my second question here was, is it possible to separate the A and B band into a right and left speaker output? I know it has that adapter, special adapter to put a monaural speaker externally on the FEM-400, but is it also possible to separate the A and B bands into a right and left speaker, like a couple of rear deck speakers in the back of your car? Back to Net Controls, KUXGYD.
All right, separating these speakers. You know, it should be possible without using that adapter. I know that the round speaker that Yaesu sells, I don't know what the number is, allows you to have the two different, it's actually got two speakers in one, so it is possible. I don't know of anybody that's ever done it. So if somebody out there has separated their A and B sides, please come back down. Let us know how you did it. This is Chuck K0RK looking for some help.
KD9 EFO.
Kilo Delta 9 Echo Fox Oscar. Mark, give us your city and state, and then help us have that answer.
KD9 EFO. Name is Mark in Litchfield, Illinois, just about 45 minutes northeast of St. Louis, and first time listening on your net tonight, and I know the 400, I believe, is what you're talking about, and that output is a stereo output, or what we'll call it a stereo output, but I've done it, hooked two separate speakers up, and I'll control each band separately, A and B band, but that's why they have that little adapter if you want to put it into a mono speaker. It combines both of them together, but otherwise just put a stereo speaker connector in there and you'll have your dual output.
All right, just that simple, I guess. Bob, did that help you with the answer on your question?
Yeah, absolutely. So then I presume right and left would be the tip and the ring, and then the common would be the main sleeve, like your typical stereo-type audio connector. So thank you very much, KE6UYD, back to Nick.
Oh, very good. I'm glad we were able to help out. And next up on my list is K9EQ, with something that is very near and dear to all of our hearts, especially when we're asleep. Daylight savings time. Chris, you have some notes on that for us. Go ahead.
I do. And we do this twice a year. We talk about how to get into daylight savings time and how to get yourself out of daylight savings time. And maybe someday we won't have to do that anymore. Thank you, Europe. Anyway, if you have a non-introductory radio, Fusion radio, you have a clock. And, of course, we want our clocks to be correct. And so I'm just briefly going to go down and give you an idea of what you have to do to make sure your Yaesu radio is showing the correct time. So this applies to the FT1, the FT2. FTM-100, the FTM-400, and the FT-991. If you don't have one of those radios, you'll grab a cup of coffee or something like that. The FT-1 doesn't really show you the clock very often. However, with all these radios that have the GPS built in, the 991 does not, you can turn on things like GPS logging. So it'll, on your SD card we were talking about, you can record where you've been, stuff like that, and you want the time to be correct on that. So basically, what you want to do in all cases is if the GPS power is off, you want to turn it on, because this, what I'm going to go through is a system here where the radios automatically adjust the time for themselves. I'm not going to go through the FT1, however, I'll tell you where you can get these instructions, so you don't have to write it down right away. We'll start with the FT2. So as I said, you probably want the GPS power turned on, and you'd want to be able to get a signal from the satellite, GPS satellite. So So on the FD2, you go into the the display, press and hold the display button, that type of thing. Go into the APRS menu and make sure that menu item 20, GPS power, is turned on. Likewise, there's a menu item just below that, GPS time set auto, number 21. You want that to be turned on. And now here's the sneaky bit. You go down to item 28, and there is the time zone selection. So let's say we're in the central time zone. We are. At least I am. So normally, the offset for UTC is set to minus 6 hours. Going to daylight savings time, what you want to do is basically add an hour to that. So it is then minus 5 hours. So you simply set the time zone offset from minus 6 to minus 5. Pacific, it would go from minus 8 to minus 7. Left or right coast would go from minus 5 to minus 4. I like that. So anyway, that's how you would set it. Make sure you have a GPS satellite lock, and you may need to turn the radio off and back on again, and up in the upper left-hand corner, it should show you the correct time. No surprise, it's going to work the same for the other radios, pretty much, for the FTM 100s and 400s. You basically go into the config setup. In the 100, you go to item 4, which is the time zone. There's item 3 in the 400. And you just go and do the same thing, where it was like minus 6 for central. You change it to minus 5. There is a manual. So on these radios, you can't turn the GPS on and off. You can select an internal or an external GPS. So make sure you got the right one selected. Otherwise, this won't take you very far. There is a setup for entering the time manually. If you do that, that will disable the GPS function. Not sure exactly how that works, but I suspect if you then go and change the time zone, it'll demanual it and make it automatic again. So the GPS time is in UTC. And, the GPS clocks and all of those types of things, you have to tell them what time zone you're in. So on the FT991, you can set the time there, too. This is one of those cases where you might actually want to set it to UTC and just have a time zone of zero. That way when you look at your, like mine says, 0140 Zulu right now. I'm not sure it's right. Anyway, you might just want to set that to Zulu. But there, you take the menu setup button that you normally just momentarily press. You press and hold it. There's a time date function in there. And there is a DST button in there. And you can just push the DST button. I have a note here that the D appears on the right-hand side of the time. I didn't see that happening when I just tried it here. But anyway, there's the clock adjustment. And if you're in America Samoa, the standard offset is minus 11, and the daylight offset is minus 10. So that document that I'm going from here is over on hamoperator.com. You go to hamoperator.com, go to the Fusion Help area, and there's a document on adjusting the Fusion clock. So that's the one that you want. We've had some comments about using WiresX on the FTM400, and potentially people have questions with other radios. I'd like to remind folks that you don't get all the manuals in the box when you get you a radio. You get the basic operating manual. And in the case of the FT2, the FTM100, the FTM400, and the FT991, what you want to do is go over to the yaesu.com website, look up your radio. The easiest way to get to it, I find, is to go to the products digital, and then along the top you'll find your radio. Go and select the Files tab once you select your radio, and there will be, besides the software updates and everything, there will be a list of all the manuals. And the FTM-400 has a Wires X manual. So if it seems like the FTM-400 manual is a little bit lacking with explaining how to manage Wires X, that's why. There's a Wires X manual. You'll also find an APRS manual and a group mode manual there as well. So I would suggest going over there and taking a look at the manuals. While I was doing other things here, I did find the comment on SD cards for the FTM-400. Here's what it says. It says that micro SD cards can be used. 2, 4, 8, 16, and 32 gigabyte micro SDHC cards can be used in this radio. What's a SDHC? Well, there's different kinds of SD cards. You have micro SD, which has a maximum storage of 2 gigabytes, so I'm pretty sure we're not dealing with those anymore. SDHC runs in the range of 4 to 32 gigabytes, and the micro SDXC is 64 to 2 terabytes. And that latter one uses EXFAT. So I'll guarantee you the SDXC cards will not work in the FTM 400. So it has a couple caveats. One is they don't give you the card, and two, not all cards sold commercially are guaranteed to work with the radio. There's a couple of reasons why they might not work, even if it is a good SDHC card. If it's formatted something funny, like you have multiple partitions on it, that might screw everything up. If you have it set to, read-only, I don't know if you can do that. Anyway, that would mess it up. But the best thing to do is to format it in the radio. If that doesn't work, you go in and look at the partitioning and stuff, but the SD card consortium has a universal SD card fixer. I don't have the URL exactly. I might go and look for it and put it up on Ham Operator. But you want to download this thing. So you can take any of these SD cards and you can jam it in there and it will erase it. I mean, sometimes when you format the SD card in the computer, it doesn't really format everything. But this is guaranteed to put you back to factory reset stage zero. They also have some tools that may help with recovering of data and stuff like that. So go and Google the SD Card Association or whatever they are and go look for the software tools that they have dealing with SD cards. That might solve some of the problems. Back to net. This is K9EQ.
For that, and I'm going to make this the last call for the net. Looking for more check-ins with traffic. More check-ins with traffic. This is the last call. Give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead now.
Charlie, Chris, near Atlanta.
C0EVN, Kilo Charlie Zero, Echo Victor November, Mike Overland Park.
November 5, Bravo, Yankee, Sierra, Walt, and Vanita with traffic.
November Golf 7, Victor, no traffic, Boise, Idaho.
You have Kilo Charlie Zero, Echo Victor, November, Mike, and November 5, Bravo, Yankee, Sierra, Walt. So first up on my list is Kilo 1, Kilo Charlie. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much, Chuck. My question concerns the PC software GUI for Wires X. Down in the bottom right-hand corner, it says online. Now, it would seem to be redundant to have that down there if it meant that you were connected to the Internet, because you would know that already. Is it a confirmation that WireZX software has phoned home, or is it just a redundant, you're connected to the internet indication?
All right, I'm going to send that one off to Chris. Since I don't play with that very often, Chris, over to you, K9EQ. This is Chuck K0RK.
K9EQ. What that means is you're communicating with the Yaesu list server. Too many computer windows in front of me. It means you're communicating with the Yaesu list server. So the way the WireZX nodes work, of course, is that if you want to connect to a room, you got to know the IP address of the room. So the list server is a thing that tells you about all the nodes and rooms, and that online indicates that you're actively communicating with the list server. There is a heartbeat that is sent once every 10 seconds. And if it fails to get that heartbeat for some reason, you'll see the thing indicate that it is offline. In the past, we've had various issues with that, where it would indicate that it is offline or something like that. It may indicate that it's offline, and you may still be connected to a room and everything's working okay. You know, you don't need the list server once you are connected to a room. You already got the IP address, everything is already working. So that does not indicate that you're not connected to the room server. And just for completeness, I'll mention that the rooms are, they're you know, distributed processing or hosting or whatever. The rooms are not in Japan. They're wherever the HRI 200 is that somebody has turned on the room function. So, they're on home internets and you know, places like that. And so you may still be communicating fine with the room when the list server goes away. So I hope that helps. Go ahead, Chuck Kane, I need you.
Thank you, Chris. And over to the other Chris in K1 Kilo Charlie. Did that help you out?
Yes, it did, and it confirmed my suspicions. Thank you, gentlemen. K1KC.
Wonderful. Next up would be Kilo Charlie, Zero, Echo, Victor, November. Mike, go ahead.
Yes, good evening to everyone on the net. This is KC0EVN. I just like to try to check in as many nets as I can. This kind of sounds like a directed one, sort of. Comments? I heard the guy. It kind of sounded like a... what's the word? Tutorial or something on a specific radios, the F1 and the F2. I've got an FT70. I think those, this is a new one. I guess it came out before, you know, the one you're talking about. So, and sounds like this is a net to try to get things ironed out on the ones before this one. So, I hope I didn't get out of line checking in, but this is KC0EVN.
All right. While we were taking with traffic only for a technical net, that's why there was so much information about how to do things here, as we try to answer all of the questions on Yaesu Fusion radios, technical questions, and we try and answer those. So next up on my list would be November 5, Bravo Yankee Sierra. Walt, your turn. Go ahead.
K0ORK, this is N5BYS. Yes, we have a repeater in Tulsa located at a site where
the minimal, or where we've got some basic internet that we can get a hold of, but they will not allow us to do any port forwarding. And we have thought about moving the HRI 200 using a link radio off-site to another ham's house. And unfortunately, our wonderful cable provider in Tulsa will not allow us to do any port forwarding either. They require a business service in order to get a public IP that would even make that possible. Everything else is private. Are there any solutions that don't require the use of port forwarding?
Yes, as long as you do not need a room, you can do the new through the FTM 100 or FTM 400, download the new software, put the HRI 200 stuff on your computer, and you can do it that way via RF. No ports need to be opened, but you do not get a room to go with, so you couldn't have like a Tulsa room if that's what you wanted. Other than that, let's see if that handles your question for you. Back to you.
Well, actually, I may have left out a critical piece of information. I'm trying to hook this up to the DR1X. So would that still be possible then to, we would use the, we would use a 100 to do a HRI, or hook the HRI 200, the HRI 200 to the FT100, and then link that into the repeater? Is that what you're suggesting?
Close. If you want to hook an HRI 200 to the radio, then you have to have port forward. That is required with the HRI 200. You have to have port forwarding. There is a new software available for the FTM 100 and 400 that allow you to do VPN and PDN. There's new, Chris mentioned earlier that there's new manuals that are available on both the 400 and the 100 that tell you how to do it. And that's the way you do it, because that doesn't require port forwarding. So you still need to have the software on your computer, but it doesn't require port forwarding, and I would do it from someone's house. I would not do it at the repeater site. Back to you, Walt.
Okay, well, I appreciate the information, and I just now upgraded the to the 1.5 software today on one of the repeaters, where I do have good internet and everything's stable. So we'll give that a try and move the 200, the HRI 200, off to someone's house and put up a link then and see if we can't get the repeater connected that way. Is it not true that that was discouraged in the past? They wanted the repeaters directly connected rather than through a link radio, or has that been resolved as well?
The first way you could ever do it was via link radio, and it works either way, and it works pretty well either way now. They've gotten a lot of the problems solved as they upgrade the firmware. It just depends on your situation. If you have good computer access at the repeater and you have access to the repeater site, putting it in, you know, at that point isn't a bad thing. But if you don't have good access at the site, it's much easier to put it at somebody's house so that they can get to it and do whatever needs to be done. So I guess we would recommend the problem using the link radio is probably the best way for more remote access. Back to you again, Walt. This is Chuck Azero Jorge.
And N5BYS. All right, well, thank you. I knew that there were some rooms in the past that pretty much blatantly said they did not want any repeaters connected that were using a remote link. Not sure what the reasoning was on that, but we're solid digital at that point. So we'll give that a try, and we'll see what it does for us. I appreciate everybody's help, and folks have a good night tonight. K0ORK and 5BYS.
All right, let us know what you think. Come back and tell us. Last on my list is November Golf 7 Victor. Ron, out of Idaho, go ahead. All right, second call for November Golf 7 Victor. Ron out of Idaho, go ahead with your question. Well, nothing heard there. So I would like to say thank you for listening to the Bottom Amateur Radio Society feed and RadioNet. Please allow 1 minute for rooms that wish to disconnect before resuming the use of the room. This is Chuck K0HORK with an addendum that Chris is going to talk to anybody who wishes about, where did it go? He was going to talk about the wires X, and he's got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, the nodes and things like that. So if you want to listen to him, hotspots, that's it. How to use hotspots. So he'll be talking about that. And everyone have a good week, and we'll be back next week to run the net. 0HORK clear.